Ladies, this evening, I just want to start by looking at one of the most powerful statements in the New Testament. It's startling. In John chapter 5, Jesus is with his disciples and he's at the Pool of Bethesda. The Pool of Bethesda is an area where all of the disabled people, people with infirmities, people who were ill, where they would hang out. And Jesus approached one man who had been sick for 38 years. And Jesus went up to him and Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" Now that's kind of a crazy question. He's been hanging out at the Pool of Bethesda. Of course he wants to be healed, right? But let's look at that statement, because the man turns around in verse 7 and he says, the sick man tells him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool." Remember, Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed? When I stand up, someone else goes before me inside the water." This man made excuses. So ladies, I want to ask you the same thing here this evening. Do you want to be healed? For those who want healing, listen, for those who want healing from a stronghold, the stronghold is going to be broken this evening. The people who can't be delivered tonight, let me tell you, there are people who can't be delivered this evening. And number one, it's those who can't admit they have a stronghold. The second person who can't be delivered tonight are those who don't believe. And the third are those who don't want healing. See, we were launched. Christian, you cannot be, your salvation is secure and you will be in heaven. However, the enemy knows that he can keep you from bringing as many others with you as he can. And so having mindsets like this helps him to just deceive the believer into thinking, Christians can't have strongholds. We can't be in bondage. So, as I alluded to earlier, Jesus doesn't heal everyone. Matthew 13:58 says, "And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief." They didn't believe. And this was in his own town. His own town, he didn't do miracles because the people didn't believe. Sisters, tonight, let's expect God to do miraculous things. Let's anticipate healing that will bring deliverance. So as we've learned so far, freedom is both deliverance and discipleship. So we learned about discipleship a couple weeks ago when Lenya taught. Remember, she reminded us we have to work out our salvation. We have to exercise our salvation. We have to put these truths into practice. We need to journal and we need to ask ourselves these questions and then state the lies and then state the truths in the Word of God. So if you weren't here and you missed that teaching, please go back and watch it. Because it's really important, because it's deliverance plus discipleship. So this evening, we're going to talk about emotional strongholds. And for those who believe, and for those who can admit, and for those who want, you can experience some serious emotional deliverance this evening. When Jesus was, he was healing a boy with an evil spirit, in Mark 9, Jesus tells him, "All things are possible to him who believe." And immediately the boy's father cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." So sisters, maybe you're here tonight and maybe that's, you have this shred of belief, but maybe we just need to cry out, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." So we've looked at the visible strongholds of drunkenness, idolatry, adultery, pornography, self-harm, and many, many others. Tonight, we're going to look at emotional strongholds. And these manifest themselves in a variety of behaviors that are oftentimes mistaken or passed off as character flaws. So strongholds like anger, worry, stress, shame. These are spiritual strongholds. Therefore, these need to be overcome spiritually. Zanetta said last week that a stronghold is a mindset that accepts a situation as unchangeable, even though we know it's against the will of God. See, most emotional strongholds, they can be connected to a deep-cutting emotional wound from the past. But Dr. Tony Evans says most emotional strongholds stem from sin, either your own or someone else's. Either sin that you've committed or sin that was committed against you. So tonight, we're going to deal with these strongholds. Some of you may not even realize that you have them. But isn't it funny how we can point them out and recognize them in other people? We see them walking around with their arm cut off and they have a little tiny Band-Aid covering the wound. And they think that they stopped the bleeding, but meanwhile they're walking around just spraying everybody with their wound. But the good news is that we serve a God who is called Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. So, when I was in middle school, I went to a summer camp, a youth retreat, and I was getting ready for chapel, and I was by myself, so I ran back to the classroom where the girls were bunking, and I grabbed my Bible and my journal, and I heard my best friend. I thought I heard her. She was at the door, and she said, "There she is." And so I looked back, and I was like, well that's weird. What, there I am, what? So I didn't see them. I grabbed my stuff and I went out to the hallway and nobody was there. And so I just continued down the hallway to chapel by myself. And all of a sudden I could hear this mob of footsteps behind me. And it startled me, so I just walked a little bit faster. And by the time I got to the door, I walked out and I could hear them. By this time they're chasing me. So I stop and turn around. I'm running outside now. This time I'm just walking really fast to the parking lot to get to the chapel, which is on the other side of the parking lot. And I hear my friend say, "Now!" And she was with one of my closest cousins at the time. And I turned around to see what did "now" mean, only to find myself bombarded by like a dozen water balloons. So I was like, "Well, wait, what? What did I do wrong?" So it wasn't a big deal. Okay, fine. I was hurt. I mean, you know, I was in middle school. So they all took off to chapel laughing, and I'm just in tears, crying, going back to the room so I could change my clothes because I'm soaking wet. And finally, a youth leader comes and finds me, and she brings me into chapel where I just sat and cried silently through the devotions. But that was it. Haven't thought about that memory, but maybe 3 or 4 times in my life, maybe. Not a big deal. Or so I thought. I didn't realize that my heart would be changed from that day forward. I was a kid, but I didn't know that that single incident would hold me in bondage for over 30 years. See, okay, Jesus began his ministry by being out in the wilderness and fasting for 40 days when he was tempted. And when he came back, he just started ministry like crazy. And then he comes back to his hometown. And when he's back in his hometown, he goes to the synagogue and he takes they hand him the scroll of Isaiah. And so he finds Isaiah 61. So this is found in Luke 4:18 and then Isaiah 61. So we'll be going back and forth to both of those passages. But it's the same passage of scripture. Jesus was reading Isaiah 61. And Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the poor, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Let's pray, ladies. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross to make atonement for our sins, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus to heal the brokenhearted. I thank you that you sent him to liberate those who are living in bondage, Father. And Father, you sent him to free those who are living as slaves of sin. Father, I ask that you would open our eyes to see, that you would open our ears to hear, and that our hearts would respond to your voice tonight. Father, be present. Fall upon us, Lord. Do a mighty work. Whisper to each heart individually this night, Jesus. We're trusting in you, and Father, we're declaring we believe, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus wants emotional healing for every single person. And so with this verse, there are five foundational ministries of Jesus. So in Isaiah 61 or Luke 4:18, the first one is salvation. Jesus says that he came to preach good news to the poor, or to bring good news to the poor. So the first week of hashtag deliverance and the second week, both Eileen and Zanetta talked about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. First and foremost, that is the most important thing. If you are living in bondage, you are living as a child of the enemy. Jesus doesn't want that. He died for you. He died for your sins. He died for all of our sins. He took them. He bore them on the cross. So if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior tonight, I really want to encourage you. That's the first thing. And you simply have to do that by praying in your heart, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins, and I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Save me and rescue me. In Jesus' name. And afterwards, if you've prayed that, please come find someone with a leadership lanyard on, or myself or anybody, because we'd like to pray with you and give you a Bible and just help you with a little bit of discipleship and what to do next. So that was Jesus' first and primary goal. The second one is, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. And this is about spirit baptism. And I believe it was Zanetta and Lenya who alluded to being baptized with the Holy Spirit, asking to be filled. Lord, fill me. We should be asking daily to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because we get bumped. And then a little bit of our flesh comes in as our spirit splashes out. So I find myself oftentimes throughout the day, fill me, Lord, not just in the morning. Fill me now. Fill me now. So that's the second part of foundational ministry for Jesus. The third is, Jesus said, recovery of sight for the blind. And this is healing. James 5:14 says, is any one of you sick? Let him call upon the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. I just spoke with a woman last week who said, and she's a believer, she's been a believer, because I've heard the theory, well, God doesn't really heal Christians. She had someone lay hands on her, and God healed her. So there are ladies with lanyards and leaderships, and they're carrying little vials of oil, and they want to pray for you. If you're sick, seek one of us out, and we'll lay hands, we'll anoint you with oil, and we'll pray for you at the end of this event. So the fourth foundational ministry, Jesus says that he came to proclaim liberty for the captives, and this is deliverance. Okay, Eileen and Victor went through this the first week. They prayed about a stronghold in your life. They asked the Lord to reveal this stronghold, and then they prayed that you would be delivered from this stronghold. So the fifth foundational ministry of Jesus is emotional healing. Jesus says, I came to heal the brokenhearted and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So Jesus heals the brokenhearted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And the word brokenhearted means to shatter, to smash, or to be crushed in heart. But the Greek word means to break in pieces. Can anyone relate to that? I imagine we all can at one time or another. I think many here are brokenhearted. Our prayers have been, the Lord is just showing us there's so many brokenhearted this evening. Maybe it's due to an incident with a friend. Or perhaps it's something that happened with a spouse. Maybe it was a business failure. Maybe it was the loss of a loved one. Or maybe it was the termination of a life, an abortion. You know, in Asia, this is called a secret shame. In America, 43% of women have abortions. One every 95 seconds at Planned Parenthood. 47% of those are repeats. But among those who've had abortions, the suicide rate is 400 to 800%. Abortion can lead to all kinds of strongholds like shame and guilt, depression, and even substance abuse and alcoholism. But stay with me, because there's good news. There is good news for you. Even if you've had an abortion, There is good news for you. Because here's the thing. Another word for brokenhearted in Hebrew, in the Isaiah portion, is lev. And this means inner man. 2 weeks ago, Lenya taught on the inner man. Do you remember that? This word, brokenhearted, literally means mind, will, and heart. So, ladies, Jesus just didn't come to heal your wounds. He came to heal your entire being. He wants to heal your broken heart. He wants to heal your wound. Jesus, and only Jesus, can put all the pieces back together. But before we get to that emotional healing, we need to get to the root of our stronghold. We need to get to the root of our sin. So before we can experience this emotional healing, we need to follow down that path. Even ask God. Begin asking Him now, Lord, show me. Because I believe He's going to show you. See, little did I realize that that water balloon incident would set me up for serious strongholds throughout my life. That single act of rejection would bring me years of anger, insecurity, and pride. Although I was set free from sin and death in Jesus Christ, I limped through my Christian experience, never realizing that I was living as a prisoner. But what was the root? The root for me was rejection. Zanetta mentioned last week that because of Eve, we are born with the sin nature. So therefore, if we're born with a sin nature, that means that we are born rejected from God. So we've all experienced rejection at one point or another. Because see, a holy God cannot have a relationship with us unless the blood of Jesus Christ covers us and we receive that atonement. Rejection is one of the most painful emotions, and it's likely hindered a lot of us in every area of life, possibly without you even knowing it. Dr. Charles Stanley said that rejection causes you to believe lies about yourself. He said that rejection causes you to project on other people thoughts about yourself that aren't true. Oh my goodness. The American Psychological Association says that as researchers have dug deeper into the roots of rejection, they have found surprising evidence that the pain of being excluded is not so different from the pain of physical injury. Rejection also has serious implications for an individual's psychological state and for society in general. Social rejection can influence emotion, cognition, and even physical health. Ostracized people sometimes become aggressive and can even turn to violence. See, the thing about rejection is that it's not skin deep. Rejection cuts us straight to the core. So, rejection rocks us. So we have to discover the source of rejection from our past. So unless we deal with it, it can hinder us and it can beset us for the rest of our lives. Otherwise, you could hobble through your Christian experience as I did, not fully experiencing the abundant life that God has for you. See, a lot of what happens to us when we're growing up fosters rejection. Maybe it's the divorce of parents. Maybe it's being picked last on the team. Maybe it's being publicly humiliated at school. In his book, Truly Free, Pastor Robert Morris teaches us that there are 7 emotional strongholds that come from the root of rejection. And I'm just going to apologize now in advance because these hurt. They all hurt me pretty good. The first one is anger and rage. And we see the example of this as King Saul when he went ahead. He didn't obey the voice of the Lord. And so Samuel reaches him and Samuel tells him, "You have rejected the word of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord has rejected you." And then you fast forward a few chapters and it says, "Now there was an evil spirit from the Lord on Saul as he was sitting in the house with a spear in his hand. And David was playing the harp with his hand and Saul tried to pin him to the wall." Sounds like some anger or rage to me. So the second root is insecurity. So you know this one. I know this one all too well. These are the people who need constant attention. These are the people who need to be recognized. You see it in the way they dress. Maybe it's immodest. Maybe it's name brands. In a meeting, these are the people who want the best seat. The third root is pride. Ugh. This is the one. Pride gives the appearance of having it all together. Pastor Robert Morris says that prideful people talk a lot. They have to give their opinion on everything. They're fault finders, and they typically have a harsh or a critical spirit, and they're defensive. The fourth root is independence. I don't need anyone. They don't take counsel. They're determined to do what they want to do. The fifth one, I just have to laugh at all of these. The fifth root is those easily offended. Everything is taken personally. These are the people that you have to walk on eggshells around. The sixth root is excessive shyness or loneliness. Now, again, this isn't a personality trait, okay? So this is the people who spend unhealthy time alone, apart, or away from society or crowds or being in public. And the seventh root is control or manipulation. These people interrupt a lot. They try to turn everything back on you when they're being confronted. Well, you do this, kind of an attitude. These people feel the need to manipulate or control so that they won't be rejected. They try to control through intimidation so they won't be rejected. They also try to control through pity. You ask them, so how's it going? Not good. I woke up sick. And my cat, I had to take my cat to the ER and my cat's not doing good. And my uncle's cousin's cow isn't producing milk anymore. And everything in their life is wrong. Everything is wrong. These people also try to manipulate through tears. When you're confronting them, they just start crying because they're telling you, I'm already hurt. Don't hurt me anymore. Don't say anything else. Just in their tears, it's just the pain of the rejection. You've heard it said, hurt people, and offended people offend people. But again, let's remember there's good news. There is good news for us because Jesus heals broken hearts, and he can even heal our rejection. Isaiah 53 tells us that he was despised and rejected by mankind. He took our pain and he bore our suffering. Ladies, Jesus bore our suffering and our rejection. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace is upon him. And it was by his wounds that we are healed. So, rejection can rock us, but we can also become bruised when we're bumped. So, Jesus says that he came to set at liberty them who are bruised. So, bruised literally means oppressed or hunched over. And I find that very interesting because one of my girlfriends had a vision this week of women in the sanctuary who were just so hunched over because of shame. They were oppressed and they didn't feel worthy. They don't feel loved. But Jesus wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to know that he's going to heal you tonight. It also means to be choked. So to be hunched over, oppressed means and choked. Jesus said he came to set at liberty those who are bruised. So what does that mean? That means that bruises can hold us in bondage. So what is a bruise? A bruise is inward bleeding. We know when we're bumped, there's no initial indication at first. But after a while, the damaged or the injured capillaries, they start to bleed and soon they start to form this dark appearance. It's the blood. They're bleeding underneath the skin. And then soon there's evidence of the bruise. Emotional healing is similar. See, a person is wounded through rejection or through loss or through hurt. And initially, there isn't any indication of bruise. That's the way it was with me. No indication. But over time, the wound surfaces, revealing the bruise itself. So the thing about emotional bruises is that when we get bumped, the bruise resurfaces and it starts bleeding all over again. And then it gets bumped and it starts bleeding all over again. And it gets bumped and it starts bleeding all over again. These emotional bruises need to be treated or else they'll keep us in bondage. So Jesus just didn't come to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came also to liberate the captives. Luke 4:18 says he came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Now, a captive is one who's been captured in the course of battle. Does anyone feel like a prisoner of spiritual war tonight? Maybe you just feel like you can't let go of the stronghold from the past. Zanetta talked about so many last week, and it's hard to just let go of that one thing. It's so familiar. It's been here for so long. It's actually become a part of who you are. We need to let those go. Why? Because Jesus came to liberate you. And liberate means a flowing or a free run. For those of you runners, when you just take off and you run and the wind is in your face and there's nothing stopping you, you're on no time, you're just running and running, and the freedom and the Lord and everything, that's the idea here. So Jesus is saying that he came to forgive any prisoner of war that is bound by a stronghold. And the Hebrew word for liberty means to be like a swallow. And the idea is to fly and soar freely through the sky. What a beautiful picture that Jesus wants for us. So there's a lot of ways to end up as a spiritual POW, but I believe that one of the most common is unforgiveness. So withholding forgiveness imprisons only you. So in Matthew 18, you remember Jesus is with the disciples and Peter asks him, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? Like 7 times? And Jesus says, no. 70 times 7. In other words, you continue to forgive your brother over and over and over and over. It's infinity and over. And then Jesus tells them an interesting parable. He tells them a parable about a king, and this king decides to settle accounts one day. So the king calls in his first servant, and this first servant owed him 10 bags of gold. So some commentators think that that's the equivalent of $52 million in today's economy. And the servant said, I can't pay it back. And so the king said, sell him and his wife and his family as slaves until he can pay it back. But this servant fell on his knees before the king, and he said, please have patience with me. Have patience with me, and I will pay you back. Now, that was kind of a ridiculous statement, because it really probably wasn't possible that he could pay him back $52 million. And the king took pity on him. The king had mercy, and he forgave his entire debt. He didn't just give him the patience that he requested. He went beyond that, and he forgave. He canceled out his debt. So that tells us that the king represents God, and this man represents a believer because he was forgiven. So now this servant leaves the king's presence, and he goes out, and he finds someone who owes him 10 silver coins. Commentators believe that that's less than a day's wage. And he tells him, pay me what you owe me. And this servant does the same thing. He throws himself at his mercy and says, please, please have patience with me, and I'll pay you back every penny. And this wicked servant didn't. He gets him and he throws him in jail to be tortured until he could pay him back. Well, all the other fellow servants see this and they don't like what's going on. So they go and report this to the king. So I'll tell you, if you're ever in trouble, just a side note, just go to the king. He'll take care of you. If you want to fight your own battles, ladies, the Lord will let you. But if you let him fight your battles, there is already victory. So he goes to the king summons him, and so now here he is in front of the king, and the king says, you wicked servant, I forgave you. I forgave you all that debt, and now you go and throw him in prison. And then he says in verse 34, I canceled your debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then Jesus says in verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Have you ever harbored a grudge against someone? It just kind of eats you up inside, and especially when you see them like living the abundant life and getting their worship on, acting like everything's okay, and you're thinking, you owe me an apology. Like, seriously, how could you be all, you know, praising Jesus, and you've offended me, you owe me an apology. that inner turmoil and just the consuming, it consumes us, not the other person. The other person's going on getting their worship on. But Jesus says here in verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So how will our heavenly Father treat us? Back up to verse 34. In his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured. Remember the first week, Eileen Marks said, the enemy only has access to the ground that we give him. Unforgiveness, sisters, unforgiveness swings those gates wide open. Withholding forgiveness allows the enemy ground to torture us. Bitterness, anger, pride, resentment. These are just a few strongholds that can torture us by choosing not to forgive. You've heard it said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So God will hand us over to our tortures if we do not forgive. Why would God do that? Why would a loving God hand over his children to torturers if we don't forgive? Ironically, he hands us over for our freedom. Now let me explain. See, whenever the children of Israel turned away from the Lord, what did he do? He allowed their enemies to capture them. And what would happen? This was a cycle. This was a cycle for them. Their enemies would capture them. Their enemies would enslave them. Their enemies would torture them. Their enemies would, they were in bondage. They were in bondage. And then they'd repent. They'd come back to the Lord. Okay, Lord. And then it would happen again. And so the Lord would allow them to be tortured and captured by their enemies. So why would God do this? Why would a loving God allow us to be tortured? So they would repent. So they would repent. A loving God allowed them to be tortured so they would repent. See, so if we refuse to give anyone, he will allow us to be tormented by resentment, by anger, by bitterness. And which, by the way, all of these can manifest themselves into physical ailments, not just emotional. It actually impacts our health. Heart attacks are linked to these. There are many, many ailments that are linked to this. But these are emotional strongholds. So why? So why does God do this to us? So we will forgive. He wants us to forgive. He doesn't want us living and being tormented. So there's a worldly concept that says that we need to forgive ourselves. Now, I haven't found that anywhere in the Bible. I seriously have looked this up and looked into this, but I don't believe it's a biblical concept. And so I feel like we need to adopt the mindset when somebody tells us, I just can't forgive myself. Our response to them should be, that's right. You can't. Because ladies, Jesus is the only one who can forgive our sins. By saying you can't forgive yourself is elevating your standards of forgiveness above God's. Therefore, dismissing the work that he did on the cross by dying for our sins, bleeding and being scourged and beaten. He did that so that we would be for the forgiveness of our sins. So we have to receive Jesus' forgiveness. He paid the price for us at Calvary. So I just ask us all this evening, will we forgive? Will you forgive? Will you repent? Okay. I want everybody to lean in because this is the key this evening. You cannot be delivered until you repent. We cannot be delivered until we repent. I cannot be delivered until I repent. Repent means to change your mind. To change your mind about the sin that you're continuing in. To change your mind about your lifestyle that's unpleasing and unholy. To change your mind about the things that don't please God. To walk one direction, to stop and to turn around and leave and walk the other direction. Why is this important? Well, 2 Corinthians 2:10 tells us, and Paul's talking to the Corinthians, "Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ," verse 11, "lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Well, what are his devices? He can take advantage of us? I mean, really? I'm sealed. I belong to Jesus. Paul says, lest Satan should take advantage of us. How can Satan take advantage of us? What are his devices? Fast forward a couple chapters in 2 Corinthians 11, and Paul tells them, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness." The Greek word here for transforms means masquerades. You've all seen Victorian pictures of films, and they have, they're at a ball, a masquerade ball, and they're wearing that mask in front of their face. There's somebody else behind, but it's the facade, it's the mask. And John 14:26 tells us that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. So Satan pretends, or he masquerades as our comforter. So how does he do this? An incident happens. We get into a fight with our spouse or a disagreement with a coworker, and all of a sudden, Satan comes along and leans up against you and starts stroking you. "You poor thing. How could he do that to you? After everything you do for him, can't he see that? Oh, she should have never said that to you. You deserve more than that. You should have gotten that promotion." You know what? You just saw what's in her heart. The Bible says, out of the mouth, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and you just saw her true character. So, here's the choice. If you embrace this comfort, yeah, that's right, I do deserve more. That's right, she shouldn't have said that to me. You're opening yourselves up to strongholds. You're opening the doors up for strongholds. Some strongholds can be so familiar that you're unaware you even have them. And that's what happened to me. I was the person walking around with my arm chopped off, with that little tiny Band-Aid on it, trying to contain the wound, and it's just spraying everybody everywhere, not even realizing why, not realizing the root, until one day, I was watching a series from Pastor Robert Morris from years ago, and it's recorded. I'm watching it on YouTube, and I'm in my bathroom, and I'm listening to him, and he's walking people through this prayer of repentance, and I'm like, whoa, I've been listening to the whole message. I'm like, I need to prayer of healing, not repentance, a prayer of healing. So I put my makeup brush down, and I'm like, yes, I think that I need to do this. The next thing I knew, I found myself standing up in my bathroom with my hands raised, and I just couldn't believe what was happening. Now, there wasn't anything major. It's kind of like when you get saved. Like sometimes when people get saved and they receive Jesus as their Savior, sometimes it's this ecstatic experience and they're elated and joyful and just so excited. And other times you just don't feel any different in your heart. It's like, okay, did anything really happen? But then as you go on, you start noticing in the week, why didn't I say that? Or why am I not? Because you realize then that the Spirit is living inside you. And so you're being transformed and renewed into that new person. So here I am, hands raised high, praying this prayer, and it changed my life. Thank you, Lord, is right. Thank you, Lord. I was so impacted by this prayer that I just felt compelled to share it with everyone. And so what I'm going to do here in a few minutes is I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to bring some memories to mind. Bring memories to mind that he wants to heal. Now, here's the thing. For me, it was a random memory. I hadn't thought about this memory in years. And over the course of my entire life since middle school, I had thought about this incident 3 or 4, less than a half a dozen times in my life, because it really wasn't that big of a deal for me. So God may bring a memory like that to your mind. Please don't tell him what's not important. because he knows, he knew that that was the root for so much of my rejection and for all of the anger and the pride and the insecurity and the rage and the rest of it, all of that entire list. He knew, and I didn't know. I had no clue. So when we pray here in just a moment, there are going to be some things that come to your mind, and it could be painful, but just hang in there because the Lord is doing a work. Some of the things may be verbal abuse. It may be emotional abuse. It could be sexual abuse. It could be physical abuse. It could be an incident with a friend, an incident with a parent or a spouse. Perhaps it's something that you did that you're ashamed of. But the Lord wants to heal you tonight. So why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes? Holy Spirit, I just ask you, Father, to bring the memories to mind that you want to heal tonight. Father, I understand the pain that this could cause, but you are the great healer, Lord. The world tells us that time heals all wounds, but you are Jehovah Rophe. You are the God who heals, the God who is outside of time. And Father, while this memory causes pain, God, we ask that you heal the damaged caused by this incident, Father. Remove any bad fruit associated with this stronghold. Now, as I'm praying over you, as an act of faith, would you just please stand if God has brought a memory or a group of memories to your mind? And I'm going to walk you through a prayer. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. In a group this size, it's usually over 90% of the audience. Praise you, Father. There's no judgment here, only deliverance tonight, ladies. Don't walk around like I did, squirting your wound all over people. Be healed tonight. Be determined. And if you believe, ask, Lord, help my unbelief. And now I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, okay? Just repeat these words of this prayer. Father, I submit these memories to you. I ask you to heal me now from all the stress and give me holy forgetfulness. I choose now, by an act of my will, to forgive, to forget, and to be healed in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to pray over you. Father, Jehovah Rophe, the Lord our healer, I thank you that you heal our memories, Lord. In faith, we proclaim victory over the effects of the memory that has caused our strongholds all these years. Father, I ask that you remove the stress associated with this memory in Jesus' name. Remove the guilt associated with this memory in Jesus' name. Father, remove the shame associated with this memory in Jesus' name. Remove any power held over us by the evil one in Jesus' name. Remove any insecurity or rejection caused by this memory in Jesus' name. Remove any pride caused by this memory in Jesus' name. Remove any anger or rage caused by this memory in Jesus' name. Remove any fear, Lord, in Jesus' name. Jehovah Rophe, heal us from bitterness and unforgiveness in Jesus' name. Expel any resentment or control or manipulation. Heal us in Jesus' name. There is power in your name, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you. Thank you that you heal our souls. I thank you that you heal our broken hearts. And I thank you that you set at liberty those who were bruised and who were once held captive. We declare tonight, Lord, that the enemy can never use these memories against us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Something's going to, praise you, Lord, something's going to happen this week, ladies, so that God can prove himself and remind you that he has healed you from this memory. The enemy's going to tell you, he's going to try to bring it up, and he's going to try to bring those old feelings up, but the Lord has healed you tonight, ladies. So you just proclaim, move forward with that. We've made this prayer available because there may be more memories that come, and you may need to hand it to a friend to ask him to pray over you as the Lord wants to continue to heal you. So we have that out for you in the foyer this evening. And then there are leaders with the lanyards. They're around. Some of us may require more more prayer. So just find someone with a lanyard and they have oil. They're going to pray for you. They can anoint you with oil if necessary.
Anybody remember? I remember.
now Larissa is here. And I am here to testify these emotional bruises and wounds and strongholds don't want them there anymore. And you have just prayed in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. So I'll tell you what's going to happen. All my ladies who have your badges on, these are our demolition crew. Come on up here right now. You come up here and you stand on the front with your little bottles of oil. Jen, Holly, Larissa, Paula, you guys come on up here. You got a badge on for prayer. Thamer, where are you? Come on. Deb De La Rosa, you guys are the demolition crew. These ladies have been on their knees praying for you and fasting for you. So there's power in the name of Jesus, but there's also power if we confess our sins one to another and pray for one another that we'll be healed. And Larissa said, anointing oil, that we've had people healed. So you come up, but when you come up, I want you to write on that piece of paper, and I want you to leave it up here. Whatever it is that you know that God did in your life, your deliverance, what he's done for you, just like the children of Israel with Ai, they brought their stones and they left them at the altar, and then they were under the word of God. So that's what I'm asking you to do. Right now, in this moment, if that's you and you want to leave it here, don't take it home, as Larissa said. Don't take these things home. You write that down. You can simply leave it if you need extra prayer, if you want anointing with oil. We would like to sing through a song and allow you that chance to come up and to do that.
The Lord says in his word in Jeremiah 1:5, he says that I formed you in your mother's womb. And before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were even born, I sanctified you. And I have ordained you to be the prophet of the nations. And I want you ladies to know in here tonight that the Lord knew who you were. He knew your mistakes. He knew the decisions that you would make. And he still chose to form you. He still chose that you would be born and that you would be set apart because he has ordained you. And I just want to encourage you, ladies, that some of you have decided last week or throughout these weeks that you are going to cut something off. But you have gone back and fallen into it. And you need to know that Jesus knows that and he knew that, but he still chose you and you have a divine purpose, a divine calling. So do not delay in cutting off whatever needs to be cut off. Be done with it. Is it a phone number that needs to be changed?
Bring it up.
Amen.
As some of you are waiting to come up, you recognize that as you lay these down, you turn around victorious, you become warriors. You pick up your sword, your shield, your spear, and you're going to go out and you're going to need to rescue other people. You recognize that? In 1 week alone in my life, and it's not me, it's whatever God's doing among us. This is us, the body of Christ. I go to Flying Star with my husband. I see him talking to someone. I walk over and everything in me is saying, hug him, hug him, hug him. But you don't hug other guys in front of your husband. It's just weird. So the guy starts talking about cancer. He is home on home health care. You know what that means when they send you home. He's been in chemo. He's had a colostomy. He's done everything that he can do. And all I said is, I've walked that path and I'm 5 years clean. And he turned to Skip and he said, can I hug your wife? And I was like, yes. So we're hugging him, hugging him. He gets in the car and Skip says, well, we'll pray for you. And I turn to him, I go, honey, let's pray for him now. When Skip reached into that car, that man pulled himself onto Skip's neck. Do you know there are people out there that are looking for someone because they're going down for the third time and they are reaching out for people like you that are whole, that you can heal. The next place I went, we were in Lowe's just shopping for our home goods, and this man was sitting there and you could tell he was a vet. You could tell he'd been injured. And we said, hi, we're praying for you. And he goes, oh man, I had a gunshot wound here. I had a gunshot wound here. He showed me his shrapnel, everything again. Hug him, hug him, hug him. I'm not like the going around hugging person. So I even stepped behind Skip. The guy got out of his chair, comes over and starts hugging me and sobbing. And I said, dude, I was going to say, sir, yes, sir, may I have
have permission to hug you. There are people out there that need a hug. They need a lifeline. They need you to be whole. Enough with your bruises. Enough with your pain. Enough with this so that you can go heal others. Can I get an amen? I want all of it down here because God needs an army who is ready. Sidelined too long. You've been in medics too long. You need to get it back out there in the battle. So you keep praying. If you guys don't need this, you'll be praying for the people in the aisle. Pray for the people up here. We need wholeness. Brokenness needs to turn into wholeness so that we can do what God has asked us to do. So we still have a few more minutes before we even told you we release. We are not going to end this till every last person has been prayed for and every last person who wants to lay a paper down that represents their pain, their idols, their strongholds, their deliverance gets a chance to come up here. Ladies, I am overwhelmed with God's greatness, His omnipotence, His power. And I just want to say to you that there is nothing that you can throw at Him or throw at the body of Christ that we cannot endure. Because the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. And so I'm just saying, if you've got sorrow or you've got pain or you've got a secret and you've got something that you think no one can handle it, you can't handle the truth, I'm telling you, we can handle it. God can handle it. The Holy Spirit can handle it. The body of Christ can handle it. So if there's anyone that's holding out that you think we can't handle it, no, we can't, but Christ can. In the name of Jesus, anything is possible. Anything is possible.
Father, we just thank you. I thank you for every single lady in here. And I thank you for the work that you are doing in her life. And there's one last thing, Lord, that I just want to ask for all of these ladies. I just believe in my heart that every single one of them is crying out for this on the inside. They need godly friends, Lord. They need people to surround them. They need people to love on them. They need people to hold them accountable and encourage them in your word, God. Help them to end relationships that don't need to be there any longer. That can be a tough one, Lord. And then it quickly, please do not delay. Do not delay and bring them godly friends. They need it. We're stronger together. We are stronger together and iron sharpens iron. Your word says that. Bring these friends. Establish new relationships. We thank you, God, for this entire deliverance series. We thank you for the work that you have done, the work that you have yet to do. And we thank you. Thank you for deliverance. We thank you that you are the ultimate deliverer. Help these ladies walk in newness of life, God, and not step out and do the same stuff. You have delivered them. I pray, like Larissa said earlier, that they receive it. They believe. Help them with their unbelief. Help all of us with our unbelief. I pray that we would hold on to your truth and that we would be done with foolishness and we proclaim your promises and stand on those, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.
All right, ladies, so that prayer that Larissa prayed was powerful, and she said there's copies of it out there. So if you need a copy and you got to keep on praying that, you keep on praying. Pray without ceasing, continually. So make sure you do that. Make sure, you know, the scripture says greet one another with a holy kiss. So I'm going to morph that because I'm not going to go around kissing people. I'm just going to greet one another with a holy hug. And I pray that God gives you the ministry of hugging people all over Albuquerque and that you invite them to church and invite them to know Christ. We pray that you'll join us for the Bible study in the fall. We also still have those Connect Life Together groups out there if you would like to sign up further to be with another group. And also CDs for Deliverance, hashtag Deliverance Series, are available at the kiosk. So if you need to get these CDs, you're welcome to get them. God bless you and keep you and make His shiny face shine upon you.